I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm taking the taboos of menopause and perimenopause and bringing light to the dark. No bullshit, no shame. It's time for us to gain a new paradigm in female health, out with the old and in with the new, and I'm bringing fresh perspectives from someone in the arena. I've been practicing women's health for nearly 20 years, and I'm spilling the tea on what it means to live at midlife, knowing that the best is yet to come. I'm sharing my Gen X approach to living through this transition, sassy, a bit sweary, and always honest. Tactical tips and instantly usable information is my aim. I hope to make you laugh and that you learn something new that helps you embrace the change. Together, we bring power to the peri. Onward to the podcast. Well, hi there, it's Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. And I have a really interesting conversation to share with you today. I recently had the experience of interviewing Danielle Savory. And she is a pleasure and intimacy coach and podcaster. Now, we're not immune to talking about sex on the show, but listen, we talked about more of it today. But more than anything else, we discussed the experience of embracing desire and wanting to have more pleasure. Now, this can be in our sexual lives, but I think it's a much broader conversation than that. And Danielle and I talked about a number of different things related to this, related to the experience and the practice of pleasure. So I asked her how she found herself a pleasure and sex coach. She says, I'm a sex coach, but Instagram doesn't like the word sex, so I call myself an intimacy coach. Now, we did cover some things. This is an explicit episode. If you've got sensitive ears nearby, make sure you're using headphones for this episode. We tell some fun stories toward the end of the episode as well. But really, we talked about sort of the state of women's healthcare around pleasure and receiving. It's a really fascinating conversation. And I know that for me, I'm looking at my own pleasure practice and desire practice much more seriously now. And isn't it interesting to think of it as a practice? And as Danielle teaches us, she plans for pleasure weekly. Because as she says, when we have a container for desire and pleasure, as women, we are naturally reflecting what we receive back. So if we are experiencing pleasure, joy, happiness, then we're sending it back out to the world. And I don't know about you guys, but I think the world could use a whole lot more of that. So let me read Danielle's bio for you before we get into the interview. Danielle Savory is a master certified coach who helps women experience more turn-on and pleasure in the bedroom and beyond. Over the last decade, she's helped thousands of women revitalize their entire well-being and tap into the pinnacle of personal growth through the lens of sexual and sensual pleasure using her expertise in neuropsychology, mindfulness, and somatics. Recently, her podcast, which is called It's My Pleasure, was selected as the number one sex and relationship podcast of 2023 on Mashable. Yay! I love that. So good. This information needs to get so much more further dispersed. So let's just keep talking about it. Danielle lives in Portland, Oregon with her husband, two girls, a pit bull named Bruce, and a kitty named Dottie. She loves hiking, house and yard projects, dancing all over the place, and cross-stitching as she contemplates ways to dismantle the patriarchy. I loved it. This was an incredibly fun conversation. It's irreverent as hell. So, you know, buckle up. It's going to be a fun one. So, on to the show, on to the interview with Danielle Savory. And I hope that you enjoy this as much as I enjoyed recording it. It's important to me that the supplements I use are of the highest quality, and that's why for more than 3 years I've been drinking AG1. It is researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, and rigorous testing. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over product quality, the standards of manufacturing partners, and sustainable practices. It's easy and fast to use. Drinking AG1 mixed with water in one scoop a day covers my nutritional bases. Prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for gut support, B vitamins and rhodiola for energy support, folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support, and vitamin C and zinc for my immune health. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D plus K2 and five free travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. That's drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. Okay, the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by intimacy and pleasure coach Danielle Savory. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And I was just thinking about it, your last name and my last name, they're so great, by the way, Lovely and Savory. Like, this is going to be a great conversation.
This is going to be a really, really good conversation. And, you know, I was thinking, like, the Lovely and Savory show, wouldn't that be fun?
So fun. So fun. Well, here you are. Welcome to the Lovely and Savory show. Buckle up.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I also should mention you are a podcaster and you have a show called It's My Pleasure. I love that name.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
You bet.
Lots of meanings, obviously, wrapped up in that one.
yeah, I'd say. Well, let's unpack this a little bit. So here you are. How do you find yourself a pleasure and intimacy coach?
Yeah. Well, I do actually call myself a pleasure and sex coach, but because the algorithm can be so gnarly to navigate sometimes on Instagram, I recently changed it to intimacy just to help myself reach more people. But yeah, it's like one of those things you look back on and you're like, how did I end up here? It's not like when you're, you know, 15 in high school and you're like, I'm going to be a sex coach someday. but I definitely was on that like high achiever path. I wanted to be a brain surgeon, actually. So my love is in the brain. It's in science. I studied neuroscience in England for a year. And then I got back and I was like, I actually don't want to be a doctor. And it was one of those like kind of come to moments where all of a sudden it just felt, you know, I remember every single detail of what I was looking at in the room and what I was wearing when I had that huge aha. But I realized so much of what was driving me to do this was for outside validation or for what other people wanted for me without actually pausing and asking myself the simple question of like, what do you want? And, you know, that's so much of the crux of what I do now with women is like really tapping into our desires. But I knew that I love science. So I love understanding the body. I love understanding how things work, but just also that mind-body connection. And I ended up going through a lot of some health issues myself and piled into that fertility stuff. And it was just like a really hard and really dark time for me. And this is where I was introduced to mindfulness and meditation before it was kind of the buzzword. You know, it still felt very granola back then, and living in Portland, Oregon, it felt like extra granola here. Sure. And so I was really resistant to it because I was like science, you know, I even subscribed to, they used to have this magazine back in the early 2000s and called the Skeptic magazine. Like that's how much of like a skeptic I was. And so
I thought you were going to say Bust magazine, by the way.
No, well, that was a great magazine.
Wasn't that a great magazine? Don't you miss so that? Good. Okay, sorry to interrupt you. Please go on.
No, not at all. But so it was just like this thing. It was like I was finding meditation and mindfulness, and it felt like I was getting so much relief from it, and it was helping mm-hmm. so many things, and everything started making sense. And it felt kind of woo-woo to me at the time. Now I've completely embraced, my woo, but back then I really needed to understand it from the scientific perspective. And so I reached out and I found teachers like Richie Davis was at the very beginning, Rick Hansen, like these meditation teachers that were also talking my language, which was neuroscience. And through that, I started making my own connections and my own correlations between what was going on with me with pleasure. I was bedridden for 2 years in chronic pain and what was going on in my own body, not wanting my, my newly wed husband to touch me even because it hurt. And all of it just kind of started falling into place. And I started teaching meditation groups. I started speaking more from the neuroscientific perspective, like at places like Nike and other like software companies. And then I kind of like it was like that black card, moment. Like, by the way, I also talk about how this relates to your sexuality. It was like very, very hush hush. And then eventually I just, came out of the closet as a full-on sex coach because that's where my passion is, and that's where I see the need really, really is for women and are missing the missing piece to so many of our lives.
There's a massive need for sure. It's really interesting as I sit as a Gen X woman, I'm watching how the younger generations are doing this way better than my generation did, which of course I was taught by the very proper English mom. You don't talk about sex, you don't talk about money, you don't certainly don't talk about pleasure at all. And I just heard actually that I know that women's pleasure anatomy hadn't been mapped until sometime in the 90s, but that we actually just figured out just last year, the year before, just how many nerve endings there are in the clitoris.
I mean, it was 8,000 forever. And what's so ironic is I actually just met the physician's assistant because it was done here in Oregon through like sex affirming care. Is how they were able to map the 10,000 nerve endings of the clitoris
Is
because
that
they had to keep it alive, as they were like transplanting or something like that. I don't really understand, honestly, like the science of exactly, but I was like, I need to have you on my podcast. I want to talk to you about this. But it was so fascinating. And they were the ones that actually were the ones that mapped that out through gender affirming care.
Wow, that is fascinating. So, to go back to your own experience, I firmly believe that the best practitioners have some variation of that lived experience that make us good at what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well, it's so interesting. I think for pretty much any woman who, has been socialized a woman in this patriarchal society has a lived experience of this disconnect from our sexuality and a rejection from certain parts of who we are and our body. And so I really do feel like any person could step into this and have some sort of lived experience with it because it is very real how many ways that women are shamed around pleasure or kept from pleasure and not talked about. Like you said, it's so taboo. And the studies that go around just women that have experienced sexual assault and trauma, it's like most women, if not all women, right? And so we having this collective lived experience, so many of us, and we don't even realize how much there is to actually unpack, how much there is for us. It sounds really easy, like, oh, just, become a more turned on woman or step into your desire, experience more pleasure. But what's operating in the background, what's operating in our subconscious understanding, what's operating from generations of trauma and, shaming and taboos is part of our lived experience. And so there is so much there, so much richness and so much growth for all of us, whether or not you have like a very, extreme experience or situation, we have all grown up still in this same pond. And I think that's what's really fascinating. What I notice so much, especially in group coaching, women from all over the world, and they're like, whoa. I'm not alone because they're hearing people from other sides of the room, totally different upbringings, totally different backgrounds, all having the same thoughts and the same beliefs because of how we have been socialized around this topic.
Oh, there's so much to unpack there. Like, where
Yeah.
do you start to unpack it? Because I love what you said about we've got this shared experience. We absolutely do, but there are still very, very many women that are not even aware that they have been existing in a system, in a culture, in a community that continues to objectify and abuse, etc. So, like, how do you
Yeah.
start to unpack that?
Great question. I find it so fascinating because there's the quote unquote obvious things, right? Like when with the objectification of women, with the way that we have been really put into these positions of non-consent on various degrees, from like you should be smiling to me to like dates and all of that stuff. But what I really love to start with a lot of women is just this idea of, has it ever been delivered as something for you, for your pleasure? Hence the name of the podcast, It's My Pleasure. Because a lot of women are like, yeah, it's for me. But I'm like, no, but really, I want you to think about like how much of your actions and your behaviors have made it so that this act and this connection with your sexuality, and especially the pursuit of pleasure, is not only like just for you, but it's also beneficial for you. It also could like help your life and enlighten your spirit. And, from a physiological and biological perspective, also make you a healthier, more whole, overall well-being. Like that to me is the most fascinating part, because when we say things like and make little jokes like, oh, did you give it to him tonight? This is heterosexual, right? But like, did you give
Yes.
it to him tonight? Or
Yeah.
like,
Did you give him the good stuff? I've heard that one lots. Yep.
right. Or like the honey do list, or like even very subtle comments like, if only my partner blank, 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 fill in the blank, did all of these things for me, then I would be more open to sex. Even that term alone is still having it because you think it's something you are giving away to your partner, that you are delivering to them, rather than this is something for me. This is something that I'm receiving. This is something that's going to take care of my needs. We do not look at it that way as women.
Okay, huge. So I love this conversation because this is something I like to explain to my listeners and my patients. If you look at the female anatomy, we literally are vessels of reception.
Yes.
And that means abundance of all kinds, whether
Yes.
it is feeling good or feeling or happiness or money or pleasure or friendship or whatever floats your boat, whatever you feel like you want to focus on. This vessel sort of concept I love. So can we
Yeah.
talk about this a little bit? The female body is the reception. So
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like everything that you just said there is like we are wired to receive. Like the way that we're set up, like that, whether you want to use feminine energy or this vessel or just looking at the anatomy, all of the ways that you look at it, we are wired to receive. Yet we are socialized to be the givers. And it has swung so far to the side of being like solely focused, where so much of our validation, our achievement, where we deem ourselves in society, like the selfless grandmother that's doing everything for everybody, and that's the main thing that is being talked about, at her funeral. All of these things are putting the woman as the giver on the pedestal that we feel guilty anytime we give ourselves a space or the time or the permission to receive. So not only then does like guilt, like pleasure be associated with guilt, but it also becomes associated with shame. It also becomes associated with, oh, did I do enough to earn this time? Like there's so much like packaged up in just our ability to allow ourselves to receive. And even in this movement of late, like this independent woman, if you're an independent woman, you're still doing everything for yourself, and there's still no space for us to receive. So it's like, when are we actually going to realize that in order for us to show up in our full power and in congruence with how we are wired, we have to create space and safety to start receiving?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Literally, yes.
Literally, yes. We need to get bring it all in, the health, the compliments, the appreciation, the money, the pleasure. Like that is what I think is really going to shift all of this stuff that we're seeing for women to be able to stand in their place of full empowerment is creating the space and the time to receive all of the things.
So what have you seen work best with your coaching clients? Have you seen it be a matter of unpack the societal crap, all of the baggage, the programming, the culture, climatization, all of that kind of thing? Is it a matter of unpacking that first and saying, oh, that's where that's coming from? And then you can start the pleasure experience? Or is it a matter of you lean into pleasure first and you start to make space for that analysis?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, I find that it's really a good balance of both. And I do feel that it's kind of like an individual sort of coaching experience, right? Like not one size fits all. Because one of the things that I love to pay attention to when it comes to pleasure is, in order for us to really experience, have desire for, and receive pleasure, we have to create a container that it can even exist, right? We have to, the way that I like to think about it is you have to think of it like, is my environment like inhospitable to pleasure or not? Am I repelling it or not? So in order for us to really touch into that, then there might be some things, whether they're societal or circumstantial, that are blocking us from even being able to receive pleasure, mostly talking about the nervous system. And the nervous system, you know, if we're in this constant fight, flight, or freeze sort of response, which most of us are at any given time, or addicted to, you know, the chemicals of stress and like chaos and all of these things, part of it has to be unpacking what's putting us into that place so that pleasure is possible, so that we can receive our partner's touch. Because if you're in a place in your nervous system where everything is hijacked, then everything is going to feel like a threat. Even a compliment from your partner or from a friend, even touch from somebody that you're like, I don't understand why I'm pushing you away. I actually really love you. Like on the cognitive level, we understand that. But still, every single night when we're making dinner and partner goes in for a bun grab, you're like, get off of me, right? So there is this place that we are like stuck in between where it's like cognitively, we're like, why am I pushing this away? And our body is literally repelling it. So there is a part where first we have to take a look of what are the knee-jerk reactions that is pushing this away. And some of that could be, you know, societal thoughts, societal beliefs, like things that have been planted in us. And oftentimes, you know, that are some of the things that we need to start changing our thoughts and our thinking around in order for our nervous system to find safety, in order for us to, you know, begin to let our shoulders go away from our ears. So it really is like taking a look more of like when I'm coaching clients, like taking a look of more of like what's creating this response in your body to begin with. How can we meet the body first? Create a container where pleasure can be received. And then you'll notice like, okay, once we've calmed the nervous system down, once we've found some regulation here, I'm still pushing it away. Why? You know, why? Is it because I feel that, you know, more of my attention should be going to my children instead of my partner, or I don't deserve to enjoy, or I don't have the kind of body that should be touched. You know, there's all then that's when we kind of notice that there's all these other things going in there that we need to take a look at that's keeping you from pursuing it in the first place.
Yeah. And when you say those things, I feel sadness rise in myself. Mm. And I think that's just, you know, recognizing how many women have turned away from our nature because of this programming and what we've missed out on because of it. When you start to look at these beliefs and the behaviors that come with the beliefs, and you recognize that they came to you, what I call mother, father, teacher, preacher, right? MFTP. Yeah. So it's not a matter of you're judging that person, and then you have to deal with that too, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just the shame and the guilt that's coming up because of something you were taught that's not true, that's actually somebody else's baggage for you. But now you're dealing with, okay, am I trying to shame my mother, or that teacher was really good for me other than this one thing that she said that I've carried for the next 40 years? Right. And so I think it's so what I love that we're learning about, especially with neuroscience these days, is we're looking at, okay, recognizing where this stuff comes to play in our world and going, okay, I don't need to spend 20 years in therapy figuring that out.
No.
Thank God we've sorted that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can go, okay, let's do some nervous system regulation around that and recognize that it is not mine and I can put it down.
Exactly. Exactly what you said. It's like, it's so liberating. And I think a lot of women are afraid to even start to touch on this subject because they are afraid of that exact thing that you just said. I am going to have to unpack some of the worst memories or some of the things that I have a feeling might have happened that I don't even know that might be lurking in those dark corners. You know, there is such this immediate threat, even when we start to pursue pleasure, of what is going to come up for me if I start to heal this? What is going to come up for me if I really do want to open up? Which of course brings so much sadness. So if you're listening to this right now and you're hearing that, please like take a moment, put your hand on your heart. And like my love language to myself is baby girl. And I'm like, baby girl, I got you. Like, of course you're nervous. And I want you to know, no matter what, I've got your back. And what's on the other side of this is better than you could have ever imagined. And just like understanding, like, we are okay and we are safe. And these things that might have come up or happened in the past, like, we can heal them without feeling like you're going to get stuck there and get sucked down and like really pulled in. Because for me, that was a huge part of like my fear, even of like really diving into this, is how much am I going to have to look at? How much am I going to have to face? And the answer is you don't have to go to, like, I think that's like what you're saying, right? Like, there's this idea that we have to unpack everything and do talk therapy for years and bring up all some of the worst memories that we might have had. And it's like, no. We don't have to actually do any of that.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We can let that go. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And as somebody who's had great benefit from psychotherapy and social work in my life, I'm so grateful for those disciplines. And I'm so grateful to see them evolve to be more trauma-centric and trauma-informed. And so we're doing a much better job. But isn't it interesting how your work and mine so much involves trauma, whether it's big T or little t?
Right. Right. I mean, it really does. I mean, but the thing is like, how else can we meet our body if we're not meeting those big T's and little T's? Like, how else can we create refuge and safety if we don't take a look at everything that's in there? It's like, oh, all of me belongs, right? Like every single little part, like the big T's, the little T's, like every single part belongs. And that is what really allows us to open up, us up to what I call like our pleasure potential, right? Like, we can't really completely open up to our pleasure potential until we create a deep and trusting relationship between ourselves and our bodies. And that starts with like allowing our bodies to be a safe landing place. And they can only be a safe landing place if we're not afraid of those dark, scary corners.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's the soundtrack for this episode.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And then I'll have what she's having.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, before we leave this part of the topic and actually get to the practice of pleasure, because I'm very interested in going there.
Yeah.
You said something a moment ago. You said, I'm going to read it, when you talked about grandma's obituary saying, and what you said was, we are wired to receive and socialized to be givers.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
That like explains everything. That explains everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like thinking about, I don't even know a good metaphor here, right? But it's like thinking about like maybe a horse. This is the first time I've used this metaphor, so just go with me. But like thinking about like a horse, right? And like a horse is like this huge animal, and it could be used to like ride and pull stuff and like carriages and all of this stuff. And what if that is actually the way that it could be utilized and stepped into its full power, but instead we were only like telling the horse to like trim our lawn or something, right? You know, just like go out there and munch our lawn and help our lawn. Like, it's like, yes, could that be helpful? Absolutely. But we're not even allowing ourselves to take a look at like how this animal is wired. Again, I don't know if this metaphor is really working, but like understanding, right? Like the way that we're socializing or teaching somebody or putting them into this box or into this hole that actually doesn't utilize their full potential, that actually doesn't utilize them to the full extent of their power. And that's really what we're doing by only socializing women around, you know, giving. And are we the nurturers? Absolutely. But if we're not giving women a chance to receive, then we can't even nurture to our full ability. And so really understanding that this is like a reciprocal relationship, but we've swung so far to just focusing on the giving that even any kind of receiving really feels like you're doing something wrong or you're doing something naughty. Or like, I can tap in here really quick, but I have to hurry and get back to my real job, which is my job of giving and being everything for everyone else.
Oh, yes. When you see it that way, there's a real gentle space in there. And I love that because I think for us, Western women, we are very much, you know, baked into the constantly doing and busyness, the busy mint or busyness things. I like to say busy mint. I know I'm making up words. What can I say? But we're in that space, and in that space, there's not really any opportunity for the compassion and kindness. But I love the gentleness with which what you're saying is. It's just so soft. It's a beautiful place to land.
And I think we have to start there with ourselves when we notice that resistance to it, when we notice that we're even putting that away. It's like, oh, woman, like, of course, it's hard for you to like ask for help or receive help or say thank you for a compliment because, you know, XYZ. Because if you receive a compliment, then you could be boastful and you could be kicked out of the, you know, the clan here, right? Like you can't really, it's hard for you to lie on the couch and rest because you're going to get kicked out because you're going to be the lazy woman that's not helping enough in the kitchen, right? Like there's so many small little like messages that we've received around the side. I don't even want to say small, huge messages that we've received for generations that make it so challenging. Even if you're like, yes, listening to this podcast, you're going to notice you go and try and do one little thing, and the amount of guilt, the amount of shame, the amount of resistance that you have doing it because it feels so unfamiliar and so against everything that we've been taught. And also where we receive validation.
And so this is just something that really comes to play at midlife for sure, because as the hormones that give us the biological impetus to be close to other human beings, to be pleasing to other human beings, leave the building. And now we have the choice of, do I carry on with these behaviors that I've been doing for the last 20, 30 years? Or can I actually truly embrace what I feel like I want to do, which is to take half of the shit off my schedule, to have a nap every day, to have coffee with my friends in the morning, like to literally just be at leisure? Can you still be a productive human being and be at leisure? And I see a lot of women struggle with this one.
It's a real challenge. And you know, one of the things I think, whether it comes to like taking a coffee or taking a break or, you know, pursuing our desires in the bedroom, it's comes back to like the fact that women have been taught, like you said, how to be desirable, right? How to be likable, how to be wanted, how to be all these things for other people. And we've never been taught how to want or that wanting is okay. So it's like when you're constantly taught about how to be desirable, everything is molded around to become likable, to become useful, to become productive, you know, the list goes on. But when you start to ask yourself, what do I want? And it feels really foreign, it makes sense because we have never been encouraged nor taught how to desire. any want that we have is normally squashed right away. And so not only have we not been taught how to actually want, how to desire, how to understand our desires, we are completely discouraged away from even asking ourselves that question to begin with, because it's not important. What's important is, are you likable? Are you helpful? Are you productive? And that is how we become, quote unquote, desirable in society.
Danielle, I can feel people's light bulbs going off over this. Like, I can just feel them. I can feel my listeners going, holy shit, did she just rewind? You know, you press the rewind. Yes. See, I can't. Okay. I love that. That was so good. And that awareness is so juicy.
Yeah.
So we're not taught about desire. And then when we have a desire, we have all of these emotions that come up as resistance around us because of this stuff. Okay. So now we see it.
Yeah.
How do we embrace the desire and put down the other stuff?
Yeah. Well, I think the first part is allowing yourself to have compassion for the fact that you don't know. This is where I see so many people get stuck. They're like, okay, great. Like, I'm going to start asking myself. And then, because we're so used to shaming ourselves and criticizing ourselves for everything, we're like, but I should know what I want. What's wrong with me? I can't even know what I want now. You know, so first start there. Like, if you start to ask yourself what I want and you don't know, or it's really hard for you to even answer that question, let's pause and have some acceptance and understanding and love for ourselves that, like, of course you don't know. Like, of course you don't know. You've never been asked. So it's like, I see so many women complaining, like, I don't have any desire. I don't have any libido, or, oh, I don't have any, you know, thing anymore. And it's like, yes, hormones can play a part of that, but, like, no shit, you don't have desire. You have, every time you've had desire, every time you've had that spark, every time you've had that, like, little flame, whether it's about making a big jump and, like, moving across the world or starting a new career or not wanting children or, you know, having this fantasy that you want to play out with your partner, every single time you've had that, you have had your socialized beliefs come in and tell you, no, not right now. That's not okay. How is that going to help other people? So, like, let's start with, like, really, really giving yourself some love of, like, this is not practiced. We have not given ourselves space. We have doused the flame of desire from the time you were a little girl and you wanted to wear something that was too crazy to church.
Yep. Been there.
I'm just thinking of my, like, 3-year-old self when I tried to, like, wear this tutu. I was like, that's a no. And I was like, why? I don't understand.
God wants me to be fabulous. I used to say that to my mom. God wants me to sleep in.
Yes.
Buying it.
I know, because we're taught, like, that what we actually want and what we're feeling aligned to, like, being fabulous, like, being loud, being seen, being brilliant, being smart, being talkative isn't okay.
Oh, this conversation, I feel, is like giving a permission slip to the thousands of women that are listening. So I thank you so much for that, because you shedding light on this is so, so important. And I firmly believe that women heal in the company of other women. And you and I share a mentor. And so we know, we've seen that healing happen in that space for sure. But here we are coming together to talk about these things that I know are going to liberate a whole lot of women. And in my brain, I can see, did you say 3-year-old Danielle wanting to wear a tutu?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And now you'd wear the fucking tutu, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you are all listening to this, but if you looked at and saw the video of my room right now, you're like, oh yeah, she's definitely not holding back with the fabulousness, with my animal print couch and my boob pillows and my, you know, bright walls and red lipstick and all
is
the
this,
things.
Is this a collection of sex toys down here next to the couch?
Oh, no, but I wish it was. No, those are just like crystals and...
Oh, yes.
Just like a little... My little altar area.
Listen, that's where my brain went.
And
my brain...
Grammy actually sculpted that naked lady.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Back in the 50s. So, I think it was always something, you know, it was okay for her to embrace women's femininity and sexuality because she was getting a college degree in art. But anything outside of that,
wow.
Okay.
Isn't that something? There's so much of that programming that comes in. And I know I started to really see it in my 30s, how my mother treated me, how I watched her be treated by her mother, and around all of these issues. So it's so big. Okay. What I heard you say was that desire is a practice.
It is. Desire is a practice and pleasure is a practice, but starting with noticing, right? Noticing those little sparks, those little ideas you might have, those little things, and trying to create space for pause. Like, you don't have to step into it. You don't have to do it. You just start to acknowledge it. Like, oh, all of a sudden I noticed I actually wanted this on the menu before I told myself this is the better choice, this is the healthier choice. Or like, I actually walked in and I wanted to pick the loudest thing in my closet this morning. I still picked the more practical thing, but this is what I wanted. You know, just start noticing that and then just start asking yourself. Like, it's such a powerful practice if you can sit down a couple of times a week and set a timer for 5 or 10 minutes and just say, I want dot, dot, dot. You know, I want like an iced coffee. Like, I want more fabulous jewelry. I want, like, just let yourself say whatever the hell it is that you want. You know, start practicing using the tool of I want. And you can also do this with your partner, which can be a really fun exercise, like sitting across from each other and you're like, I want, and letting your partner just hear what you want. And the practice really is like, I want, and then like, oh, thank you for sharing. What else? I want blank. Thank you for sharing. What else? And you just can go back and forth and just create a safe space that you can say whatever you want.
Oh, that could be transformative right there.
Yeah.
So is desire the lean into pleasure?
Great question. I think that they go hand in hand. It's kind of like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Because it's a lot easier to desire something that's good. Not everybody.
Talk more.
If we're talking about sex, right?
Yeah.
Sexual and intimacy. Not everybody is having the best sex. So if you're already coming like an uphill battle of like, I have to convince myself to want this, and I don't even know that I really want it, and it feels like a lot of effort to even like get myself there and get in the mood, and then it's kind of like blah, well, that's going to be tricky to really want. So we have to be willing to start. We have to be willing to start somewhere and have trust that it can get better. And so what I say at the beginning is creating a space for desire is really a willingness and a leaning in. Are you going to have like the flames, like lighting your loins up right at the beginning? Probably not. Not if it's been fine or blah, or like, you know, take it or leave it kind of sex for years. And that's okay. Like, we do not need to have your loins completely on fire in order to get into action. But when you start getting into action and understanding your pleasure, leaning into your desires more, it's going to be so much easier to get your mind and your body on board again, if that makes sense.
It does. I think I heard Emily Nagoski recently say something very similar, where she said, you know, as you get older, you have to start the process. You know, when you're younger, you feel the spark and then you go.
Right.
But as you get older, you have to start the process to get the spark coming along. It was something like that. But you get the idea. But yes, if you'd like to add
more
to that.
It's creating the container, right? It's being willing, you know, and so many women, and because of the way that we have seen sexual interactions portrayed in media, it is in this very realm of like spontaneous desire, which tends to happen when you're younger, when your hormones are surging, or in a new relationship where things feel very exciting and you're anticipating that touch. If you're in a long-term relationship, and as we age and as we get older, we experience what's called responsive desire, which is what Emily was talking about here, right? Which is, we have to actually be into action first. And so the way that I like to think about it is, you know, George, my husband, he always talks about how his grandma Garnett has some saying that's like, action precedes Oh gosh, now of course I've only heard it 1,000 times, but it's like the doing basically precedes like the wanting, right? Like we start taking action first. And if we start taking action, it's just like going and working out, you know, or going on a hike. Like most mornings, I do not want to go out in the Pacific Northwest weather when I'm cold and I'm tired and put on my hiking boots and be on this muddy trail. But once I'm there, I love it. And my brain kicks in and we're like, oh, we actually like this. We want to do that. We have to give ourselves the same kind of space when it comes to our intimacy and understanding there's nothing gone wrong. Because so many people become so judgmental of this. Like, I've got to be in the mood. I have to be in the mood first. I'm going against my body. This isn't what I really want. And it's like, no, you haven't actually given your body a chance. You actually haven't put yourself in a position that you can even know. And giving yourself permission to be willing, like lean in, like have your partner like rub some oil on your butt, like start kissing, like start dancing and like touching each other, and then see what happens. Usually, what's going to happen, and not every time, but more times than you would think, your brain's like, this actually does feel pretty good. Like, I actually do like this. There is something that I want here, but we have to be willing to create the space for that to even click, for that moment to even happen, where your brain's like, oh, yeah, this is good. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I know my husband often talks about spontaneity, and I'm like, bro, I think those days are gone. Like,
Yes.
they were cute when we were in our 30s. The wind blows, someone gets an erection, you know, that next thing you know.
I think spontaneity is so overrated. I actually don't, I mean, I plan for pleasure every single week, and I'm a sex coach, and so it's like and the reason that I do it is not only because it matters to me and I want to make sure that I have time for it, but also because it's so much better when I do. Because when you plan for pleasure, when you put space there, intentional space for you to feel good, to feel turned on, to create connection with your body, and if it's self-pleasure, to create, you know, that connection really with your body, but then if it's a partner, create connection with yourself and with your partner, then you can get your mind on body and body on board. And this is such an important thing that we don't think about. But going back to the very beginning of our conversation, talking about how most of us are simmering in the stress cycle, we're normally dealing with neurochemicals that are actually sucking the blood away from your genitals, then we have to create the time and space so that we can allow our body to regulate, to get to a place where the blood can flow, where we're not thinking about the email that we didn't send or the project that's going out the door tomorrow, that we can really fully land in our body. And there we can actually experience more pleasure. There we can have true connection. But if we just try and like jump in and make it spontaneous, usually it's going to be pretty shitty sex because you're not even there. You're not even in the room. You're like checking in your like, you know, rote, like your autopilot that's showing up, doing the same moves, same motions, grabbing for the vibrator at this point to just quickly get it over with. And you're not actually present for the experience.
Love that information, like masterclass on how to get and schedule yourself for pleasure. I love that idea. And in a way, aren't you priming your nervous system to accept
For
pleasure and
receiving.
desire and receiving? Yes.
So it all comes back to creating the container. Like I said, creating the container that desire and pleasure can thrive in, you know, and that container requires a level of safety. And when we are spontaneous and we just jump into something, most of us don't feel safe. But when we know it's coming and we can start thinking about it, we can create safety throughout the day, throughout the week. So when the time comes, you know, so many people are like, oh, I'm going to feel pressured. And it's like, no, we actually can prepare ourselves over time, notice the kind of thoughts and beliefs that are creating pressure in our mind, and instead, like, no, this is the time for me to open. This is the time for me to receive. This is the time for me to feel good. Just like if you plan to have a massage, you're not going to feel pressure to go and get your massage. Like you're going to look forward to it because you also understand it's going to be really beneficial for you and feel really good.
Love it. I love it. This is so good. So you're ritualizing something that's actually a very nice experience anyways, for the most part, as long as you have that safety piece, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're learning. But I remember years and years and years ago, I heard an expert say that for the woman who is struggling with orgasm, she should put socks on. Okay. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, what the actual hell? Now that we're speaking about nervous system regulation, I totally understand it. It's 100% about safety. And when our feet are cold, we don't feel safe.
Yes. And it goes really to paying attention to our body and where are, I like to think of it as the leakages. Right. So think about a garden hose and we turn on the faucet and we know that water is going to go out. Now, the amount of water and the pressure of that water is dependent on a few things. It's dependent on how much water you're turning on. Right. But it's also, is there holes in the hose or are there kinks in the hose? And so every time there's a hole in the hose, doesn't mean that there's water that won't get out the end, but we're losing some. So if your body on the subconscious level is paying attention to homeostasis and is worried because, oh, she's really cold right now, she doesn't have her clothes on, that's leaks in your hose. There's less attention that your body can pay to the pleasure that's happening, to your touch, because it's concerned about your cold toes. You know, so it could be cold toes. It could be scratchy fabric. It could be, am I going to get interrupted because I just put my toddler down for a nap? It could be, you know, there's so many like little places that there can be leaks. And really, that's what that study had shown was when they were doing this study with socks, it was because they were in a lab that was cold. Had the lab been warm, they probably wouldn't have needed socks. Right. But the lab itself that they were doing these tests was cold. So, of course, the socks are going to help create more attention to sensation. And when we can have more attention to sensation that's happening, we're going to experience more pleasure. And so it's really like, where are my leaks and where are my kinks? And how can I smooth out this hose? And how can I patch up some of the leaks of where my brain might be like going? That's not focused on my pleasure.
Yeah, wow. Wow, wow. So creating the space for desire, for pleasure to arise, goes far beyond the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love that. Your set behind you makes me think of the Empress card in the tarot. Are you familiar with this card?
No, I am not.
Oh, yeah. She's the ultimate receiver. So you need to go look. You need to go look. Girlfriend is just sitting back and just enjoying the beautiful scenery behind her. She's got it already all right there.
I love it. I love it.
It's so good. All right. So what is the thing that you could give the listeners right now to start? Just give us a start. You've given us so much great stuff that we can play with. But what is a good starting point? Something we can do right now to make ourselves feel better?
I would say start practicing pleasure. Just like desire, pleasure is also a practice. And so creating a practice for pleasure. Now, of course, being like a sex coach, I'm like, create time for self-pleasure, create time for your partner. But even just like right at the beginning, creating small little practices where you're pausing and you're being present for things that are delightful, for things that light up the senses. So for instance, maybe many of you drink like a beverage in the morning that you really look forward to. Maybe it's your cup of coffee or your tea or some other time during the day. Like for those first few sips, be completely present for the experience and actually acknowledge the fact that you are receiving something that is pleasurable, something that is lighting you up. So you can allow yourself to like soak it in, like, like this tastes so good, or this is for me, or feeling the warmth on your hands, or feeling the coolness of the iced coffee as it like quenches like the heat that's in your mouth. Like these like small little moments, but actively thinking to yourself, like, I am receiving. I am like bringing this in, like this is for me. Like the little mental kind of love notes that you can give to yourself during these experiences are going to make them that much richer. I have a free guide. We'll drop it in the show notes here about how to kind of do this in the morning, like where we connect with ourselves when we're in the shower. Like, it doesn't have to be extra things, you know, because your brain is already going to start resisting for all the reasons we've been talking about on this whole podcast. So let's just start like practicing pleasure in your everyday routine, like when you're in the shower or when you're washing your face or when you put lotion on or when you're brushing your hair. Like, there's these little ways that we can just turn towards, instead of being the giver, the person brushing your hair, how can you practice being the receiver, the one that's having her scalp like massaged, the one that's having herself touched? You know, just that like change in perspective is going to allow you to start receiving more pleasure. And even though you're the giver and the receiver, you're practicing the receiving role.
I love that. First of all, can you imagine a world, you and I can, because we've thought about it, I'm sure, yes, where we have women acting as the receivers, the pleasure creatures that we are. Like, let's talk about the clitoris for a second. We started out this conversation talking about it. So now there's what, 11,000 nerve endings we know?
Yes.
In the clitoris,
yes.
Which is more than double what's in the penis. Let's have a yes. moment. Not that the penis yes. is anything less or better or anything. It's just, hello.
Yeah.
It should be the default is a woman's pleasure, but the man just happens to be part of it. If we're talking about hetero relations, yeah. of course. But I just always found that very interesting. But now we have this new research that shows us it's so much more.
Yeah. Well, I love this visual too. I forget it. It's like some saying or something that I had read about the moon, right? You know, and moon really is representative of like the feminine energy, yeah. of course, and the cycles and all of that stuff. But we think about the moon as giving light. You know, it's giving light during the nighttime. It lights up the sky and all of these beautiful things. But like, it's not actually giving. It's reflecting what it's receiving. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to think about when it comes to like women. It's not that we won't be like giving or nurturing or sharing our light in so many beneficial ways, but it comes from through the reception of it. It comes through receiving. And that is such a beautiful visual for me. I'm a very visual person of like thinking about like, well, but how does this actually work? Like, if I am just in this place of like receiving, you're like, how do I take care of my children? How do I, you know, like do my job? How do I do whatever? But like, when you really are pursuing pleasure specifically and you're allowing yourself to fully receive, then the giving just becomes part of the reception. You know, it becomes part of your, like the way that you move about the world, and it's less forced. And so when we're so worried about like, oh, I'm so tired, or I'm feeling so drained, or I don't have any energy, it's because we're only focusing on pushing out and giving and giving and giving, where it's like when we receive, you naturally will keep giving, but it's not coming from force. It's just coming from because of the reception, like the moon, like from allowing yourself to be a reflection of the light that you're taking in.
Oh God, yes. Let's have more of that, please. Again,
yeah.
I think women on this planet, if we were all taught better around this, if we all embraced that pleasure, yeah. and that receiving and giving that you just talked about, the world would be a profoundly different place.
So different.
And
I want to live
that.
In that world.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I think you and I are creating it.
Yes.
This is what we're doing. These conversations is what's going to create that, which I'm so excited about.
And I totally agree. Something that keeps coming to mind as you're talking, as I've been talking to women about hormones and health and sexuality, more like in terms of how we make it part of overall wellness. And my prescription for years to my patients has been 3 orgasms a week.
Yeah.
Now that's a minimum.
Yeah.
And you can decide if that's going to be in 5 minutes time or if it's going to be spread out over 3 different sessions.
Yeah.
Here's what I get back most of the time. Oh, it's too messy and it takes too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, I said, okay, well, hang on a second. You're first of all, you're assuming, I said, you should be getting, including your partner in this. I didn't say anything about that, right? We're talking about that self-pleasure practice, but then they go, oh, okay, right. And now we have wonderful things like rechargeable vibrators that can go in the bathtub with us, which are lovely,
Yeah.
by the
Oh my God, so much better, right?
so much better.
I mean, I just remember the days of like having to buy like C batteries. Like, what
Yep.
else do you use
See,
C batteries for?
I
We didn't
mean,
have Amazon. We didn't have delivery. Like, we had to go up there and be like, here's my C batteries. And because it was so like shame driven, like, everybody knows what you're doing with C batteries. Like, unless you're going camping and you have this big like lantern you're putting them in, we know
oh
that
yeah.
Sally down the street is taking care of herself, and we should have been
Yes.
applauding it. But the looks that you would get, it was like worse than buying tampons. It was like, oh my God,
For
here's
sure.
my
And
C batteries.
that was a while ago. You're right. I can't even
Yeah.
think of the last product. Okay, I have a vibrator story to share. I cannot believe
Yes.
I'm sharing this publicly,
Oh my
but
God,
here
I
we
love it.
go. You have
Yes.
the face that makes me share this stuff publicly. Okay. First vibrator I ever got. My best friend and I went to the porn shop to buy a vibrator because that's where you buy them, right?
That
It
was the
wasn't
only
like,
place you could.
yes, that's right. And it was this awful hard plastic thing that looked like a really long skinny bullet. Okay, first of all, have I ever seen a penis that looked like that? No.
No, but those things worked. I mean, if they didn't burn off your clip first, it worked.
Totally, totally, totally. Well, anyways, it happened to be that as I was walking out of the, and of course, what the guy behind the counter did was he opened up the package and he put the batteries in to test it to make sure.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like my story. Go on.
Okay, I'm already loving this. So as my bestie and I are, tee-hee-heeing and we're running out the door, basically, the guy who was behind the counter who was halfway back the store, he says, "Oh, by the way, don't put it in your mouth, it'll chip your teeth."
I love it. I love it so much.
I'm glad he said that. I mean, I don't think that could have happened, but you never
But
know.
you never know. This
I
sounds
learned a
so much
lot.
like my first like same, right? Like first time I bought a vibrator, and it was actually on my 18th birthday. So when other people on their 18th birthday are like buying a pack of cigarettes or like a lottery
Going for
ticket or
cocktail.
something
Yep,
like
yep,
that,
yep.
I was going to the sex shop that we had always driven past with like my best friend, and I was like, I'm gonna buy a vibrator. And she was so nervous. And we walk in, and being in Portland, Oregon, I'm pretty sure there was like a fabulous drag queen that was standing behind the counter, which I absolutely like loved. And she was so supportive and like, oh, get this one, and like telling me all the things. And
Yeah.
then there was all of a sudden this like big long line out the door. And they have to check, they have to take it out of the package, they have to put the batteries in, and like said something like, honey, does this work for you? And like turned it all the way up. And my best friend turned so red and she ran out of the store, like pushed past people and ran out of the store. And I was like, yeah, that looks like it
Yeah,
works. You know,
it looks
like
good.
everybody
Yep.
else in there is like, proper adults, like they're grown-ups, and I, high school, 18 years old, and having somebody shout about it. And I was like, yes, it's
God.
fine. Thank you. So that was when I shed a lot of shame right then and there. I was like, thank you.
It's so good. And thank God the vibrators have gotten so much better.
You can just get them online and discreet, and they're delivered to
Amazon
your
sells them. For
door. Oh my
God's
gosh. I saw them in Walgreens the other day. I was like,
sakes.
what?
Really?
Yes. Yeah, right next to the KY jelly. I was like, good job, Walgreens. Proud of you.
It should be back where all the medicines are. It makes sense to
Yes.
me. That's
Yes. Yes.
perfectly acceptable medicine.
I know it should be right next to like any kind of like anti-anxiety and like health. It should be like just a whole row of vibrators.
What's your problem? Got a cough, auntie, and got heartburn. Have an orgasm. Feeling blue, have an orgasm.
They should put it next to like all the pacifiers and the baby formula, like them all the moms that are exhausted and tired,
Poor
and be like,
moms.
hey, take care of yourself, mama. Here's this too.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm so glad you shared your story. There was actually a drag queen and a pile of fabulous gay men that were involved in my story too, but I'll leave that part of the story out for another
Well, now I'm curious. We'll have to turn off
And
the recording and share.
yeah, exactly. And how absurd. How absurd. I love the world we live in now, where we've just, there's all this sort of mixing and mingling of this, and who cares what the sexuality is? Let's just all go have an orgasm. Like, who
Yes,
cares what your
please, for
flavor
the
is?
love. The world would be so much more peaceful.
So much more peaceful. I have loved this conversation. I feel like I've learned so much, and we've just barely scratched the surface on the libido conversation. So will you come
Yes.
back on the show and talk
I
to
would
us
love
about
to.
libido?
We
Okay.
can get all into that. My
On
favorite.
the Savory and Lovely show.
Yes. Yes. Welcome. Buckle up, like we said.
Exactly,
Wild
exactly.
ride.
Okay, so if people want to know more about you, where can they find out more?
So on Instagram right now, I'm not shadow banned or deleted, so you should be able to find me. It's at the Practice of Pleasure. Again, a whole nother conversation. But no, they've been a lot better. I haven't been having anything restricted or
Yeah.
inhibited lately. So at the Practice of Pleasure is there. My podcast is called It's My Pleasure. If you want that pleasure guide to start like your morning ritual, that's daniellesavory.com/savory-starter, but we can put that also in the show notes. So those are the main ways to get a hold of me. I have other free courses, like a course called Fresh, and that's just how to make a longtime lover new again. And we really do dive into libido in that free course. So
Ooh,
lots
I
of
love
ways to
that.
connect with me. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, I've heard Oprah say this for my life. I watched Oprah when I was a kid. She
Yeah.
was very influential. I'm sure you did too. Very influential for me. And she would say to her guests, she'd say, "I can feel the millions of women that are hearing what you're saying and changing things." And I can very much feel that today in my heart when I hear you talk about these things. So thank you for being the representative of the goddess today on the Not Your Mother's Menopause
Aw, thanks
podcast.
for having me. It's been so fun.
It has been really fun. I know that you and I literally could talk for days and days, and I think a follow-up show is very much in order. But I like to ask my guests a final question, and I'm going to ask you the same now. It goes like this: knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh goodness, there's so many things. I think where I would start would just be like my podcast, like it's your pleasure. Like this is for you. Like really truly, like how is this for you? Because there were so many moments where I know, and I know I'm not alone, but like as a young woman, like constantly looking at my partner and are they enjoying themselves or what are they thinking about me or do they like my body or do they like this or like, exaggerating orgasms to look more like the movies or porn or something like that. All of this stuff that was so focused on how I was being perceived rather than how I was experiencing my own pleasure. And I would really just encourage myself to be like, what's your experience? Like, what's your experience in your body? And like, this is about you and this is about your pleasure from the very beginning.
I love it. Thank you. Again, a permission slip, not only to your younger self, but to the listeners. So, Danielle Savory, thank you so much for this conversation today.
Yes. Thank you. I've loved it.
The information and other content provided in this show, or in any linked materials, is not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. Nor is the information a substitute for professional medical expertise or treatment. We are doctors, but we aren't your doctor. Seek your doctor's opinion. If you or any other person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard in this podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. The opinions and views expressed on this page and in this show have no relation to those of any academic, hospital, health practice, or other institution. Thank you.